There's one set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11, 11 listeners.
This is me.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of the Unique Geeks 50 Days of Dragon Con Countdown. The countdown that is almost done. And we're almost there. Just a few more days. And we'll be there. So joining me, as always, is my lovely co-host, the ever so panicked Lee.
I am not panicked. I'm a little nervous, but I'm not panicked.
Yes.
Because believe it or not, things have changed. I just had a change today. And it's not a bad change. It'll be on your thing. But instead of Fringe at 11:30 on Friday, X-Track will have two back-to-back. They'll have a Fringe at 1 and a Warehouse 13 at 1, which is fine. We'll be in two ballrooms and, you know, hey. People can decide which one they want to go to. That's going to be cool. And these changes happen. That's why we always say everything's tentative until your fuzzy butt's in the seat.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. If you haven't listened to us say it 100,000 times, nothing at Dragon Con is permanent. It's all tentative.
Not permanent. It's tentative. So no, not panicked. A little nervous. I mean, but you know what's helping my nervousness, John?
What is that, Lee?
Well, first of all, you sound better. I don't know if you feel better, but you at least sound a little
better.
I'm
just down to a headache and a cough that knocks me onto the ground. I'm doing well.
That's okay. We can pick you up or step over you at con. That's fine.
Actually,
as long as you're there.
I was walking out of my bedroom, and as I was walking out of my bedroom, I started coughing so hard that I had to lay down on the ground because I was losing oxygen. I was starting to pass out, and my daughter walks over, and she goes, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah," and she went, "Okay," and walked away. That's a 13-year-old for you. There you go.
There you go. I was actually kind of joking about that, but oops, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
I thought you were joking, so we'll pick you. I will pick you up because, you know, I adore you. But what really makes me happy is I have been thinking about costumes.
Costumes?
Costumes, and I've really been thinking about you in a costume.
No.
Because if you looked at our 50 Days Facebook and 50 Days Twitter and 50 Days whatever else, everybody wants to see you in a costume. And you know what? There's a big costume thing.
I don't know how I should take that. Maybe, why would people want to see me in a costume? They don't think I'm attractive enough? Is that what they're saying?
Well, I think that's it. I think they want their brain synapses just totally fried. Totally fried. Not from a transporter malfunction, but from something else.
Transporter malfunction? Why would you bring up something so strange?
I was doing two trains things, but there's a transporter malfunction is a possibility for their brains with you in a costume, but also that there is a really big costume thing going on this year, and it is going to be in the Star Trek track with Garrett Wong, who's the director and who's here today.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing, Garrett?
I didn't say I do good segues. I get segues. Okay, so, and that's not the little writing things. Although I want one of those for con.
Oh, that would
be
awesome.
I've been mentioning that, guys. Since day one, I said, you know, Pat Henry should give all directors segues to get around con.
Mine could even be little tiny one. I mean, I wouldn't even need as big as everybody else. It would be like half size. Like
mini segue. Yeah.
Yeah, mini segue. It'd be awesome. Like a little mini, or a really, really mini, mini Cooper that I could just have around con. That'd be that.
That'd be awesome. I've seen people on there, the Rascals and whatnot, so it's got to be okay, right?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. Or a golf cart.
Ooh, a golf cart, yes. I'd like to see that going through the walkway.
Yeah, that would be fun. And then
3 hours
then
later.
And the Hyatt, the bridge went boom.
Yeah.
Golf carts. So, but, okay, we had a bad segue, but you do have, okay, so this is Garrett, but let's talk about, you have got one really big thing before we talk about what Trek Track is and everything else you're doing. So what's your really big thing this year?
Well, the Guinness Book of World Records attempt to beat the most Star Trek costumes in on fandom in one place. So that is 7 p.m. at the Atrium Ballroom in the Marriott Marquis on Sunday.
On Sunday. Yep. Now, what is the current record and who holds it? Do you know?
England holds it at 1,063. And then I think Vegas beat them out by 20 or so, but that's unofficial count. They have like 1,080 something. So to be on the safe side, if we had 1,100, then we're golden, I think.
Oh,
so.
Come on. We can get more than that at Trek.
I can't imagine how we can't get like 2,000 people in Star Trek outfits on Sunday at 7 p.m. in the Atrium Ballroom, people.
Exactly. That's my feeling, too. It just takes cooperation from people, fandom of other tracks. You know, just
there you go.
You know what? Let me pull out my old next-gen costume I had, blah, blah, blah. Just bring it on down is what we're asking for, you know?
I am sending
at least two people in Trek costumes. My husband and my son are going to be there. They have black pants and Star Trek shirts, so they will – and none of them – I think one of them is a red shirt. Hopefully don't – I need them back, man. So don't let anything happen to the red shirt. But
right,
and they're old. They're not next gen, so they're old school Star Trek. So yeah, I do need that little red shirt back.
Perfect. So. And just to put it out there for the people out listening to this podcast, it has to be kind of precise. I mean, the Guinness people are very very much sticklers. So if you walk in with your next gen top, black pants, and a pair of tennis shoes, it's disqualified. You know, it doesn't count. It has to be something that looks like
really.
Yes, it has to be pretty darn close to what. And it has to be something that's recognizable as, you know, this is the costume that so and so wore. This is the, you know, it just can't be sort of like, well, I've decided to do a mashup. This is Star Trek and steampunk, you know, together, which looks cool, but it's not acceptable, though. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's
wow. They are getting a little nitpicky. So one of the things
they weren't that nitpicky on the Thriller. Anyway,
really?
Moving on.
Yes, John, we know.
Well, that's tough.
Still really upset
yeah,
about
it's
that
a lot of zombie action going on there. That's tough to interpret, though, right? To keep it all
well, they
the
gave
way.
It to they gave it to Mexico, and they weren't even doing the dance.
Really? What did they do?
I think they all just stood around. I don't know. It was, and they played Thriller, and everyone listened. And I think that was the extent of it. Some people dance. That's not fair, but anyway.
Okay.
Bitter about it. But
John
anyway.
Had asked earlier. I mean, because you had said it at the director's meeting, and I just kind of reparroted your words. You can't, you know, put on Spock ears and wear a Hawaiian shirt because one episode somewhere, you know, there was a Vulcan in a Hawaiian shirt.
Right.
But some of the things people, but you know, yes, you could come as a Klingon if you're an official Klingon. You could come as the Orion slave girls, which we actually found out in Enterprise are actually the slave masters.
Yes.
You could come in, and one of the things, and this is kind of a question because John was saying, what about the episode where Kirk and Spock go back to like the 50s and are in those kind of zoot suit kind of ideas or whatever? Whatever, with the mobster ideas. I can't even remember the episode either, John. So would that be okay? Because that is actually a very recognizable episode.
Yeah, I think that would probably pass because it is recognizable. Okay. People know that episode, you know, very clearly.
And I mean, I think the other thing is, guys, do remember, yes, it's got to be the Star Trek shirt with the it's got to be the shirt, the pants, and everything down there. I mean, because now they just said no sneakers, which I didn't know, so that's good to know. I got to find some boots for my kid. But remember, it's any Star Trek, so you go everywhere from.
Well, this is I want to go
digital through Enterprise and all the movies too, right?
Well, I actually wanted
J.J. Abrams. Yes.
Really, I was well. So can I dress as Chris Pine in his civilian uniform?
Yes. In his what uniform?
Just in his, you know, his leather jacket he's wearing. No, I'm kidding.
Oh,
obviously not.
Blood all over your face.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
But, guys, this is the added incentive. I'm going to be there presiding over this record count. And I'm going to have – I will be in uniform myself. So.
Oh, nice.
Garrett will be in costume for the first time ever. At DragonCon.
At a convention.
At a convention. Wow.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. You want to see that.
So that's a newbie. And it's not Voyager. I'm not going to be dressed as Voyager. It'll be JJ era.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
I actually like those uniforms a lot.
And, you know, and the other thing is what I'm noticing, I've seen a lot of people wearing crossing gender. Like, I've seen men wearing female costumes and the other way around. I've seen female Rikers out there, which is interesting. So, I mean, as long as the costume is accurate to whatever that character wore. It doesn't matter what gender either. So that's fine. And we'd have more rules if you go to the Trek Track website. You can see a little drop-down menu on the right, and it'll show you some. It says world record rules. You can look at that. Anybody can check that out.
And where is the Trek Track site?
If you go to the Dragon Con site, and then it says, what is it? What to do or where to?
What to do?
Yeah, what to do with Enso track sites. You hit that and go down, scroll down to Trek Track, and then there will be a link right there to go right to our personal site. So, yeah.
See, right. So good costumes.
It goes trektrack.dragoncon.org or actually trektrack.org.
Correct. Trektrack.org will get you there.
We'll also get you there as well. So,
correct.
Those are the.
We're just excited also because this year is the 20th anniversary of DS9.
Yes. First of all, I disagree with that. It is not. It cannot possibly be 20 years because I was just watching it the other day when I was and I was only what 20 at the time. So it's not possible. It's been 20 years.
Okay.
Count again.
We'll change it for you.
Count again.
Yeah, 20. So 20 years of DS9.
Yes.
That is difficult to believe. Yeah.
We have, for the first time, Terry Farrell, who's never been to Dragon Con. So,
awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. Jadzia Dax herself will be there.
That's
wonderful,
nice.
Lady. Yeah. That'll be cool.
That is cool.
Also, sometime today, it'll be posted the Trek Track, official Trek Track t-shirts. We have two, just like last year, we had the 25th anniversary of TNG. We had two different shirts there. We have two different shirts for this year. Very cool looking. So they will be available at the Cosmic City booth, which is my t-shirt side company, t-shirt business side company. All the Trek Track shirts will be there. Limited edition. We only have 50 of each design, so come quick before they're out. But we will show you on our Trek Track website what they look like within the end of this day. So,
okay, awesome. Great.
Yeah. What day are we now? 8 days? 7? What are we?
Yeah, as we record this, we are at
7.
7? Wow. Oh, yeah, it is Friday. Yeah, so it's next.
Because it is Friday.
Officially starts next week from today, yeah.
Oh my Lord. God.
Actually, it's less than 7 days because it'll have already been going for 8 hours at this point.
Yeah. But also, just the people already meeting up will be happening even earlier, Thursday and even Wednesday at this point. So I remember last year they said Wednesday is the new Thursday. So,
yeah, that's true. Yeah. I know that me personally, I started coming in Wednesday about 2 years ago, and now it's like, I'm coming in Wednesday. Sure.
Totally. That's the come-in time now. Definitely. What else do we have? So we have from DSpace, we have Avery Brooks, Sirach Lofton, and Terry Farrell as our guests. Again, the world record rules, that's the big thing. And of course, every year we do our Miss Star Trek Universe pageant. And this year is really cool because MTV is following one of the contestants from preparation all the way to pageant day. So they're going to be there filming.
Nice. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that'll be nice to see. We'll have some little added extra surprises as we go along. And I, as usual, I'm the MC for that, the master of ceremonies for the pageant. And that is on Sunday also at 4 p.m. at the Grand Ballroom in the Sheraton. So that'll last till about 6:30, and then everyone can hightail it to the world record attempt right afterwards at the Marriott Marquis. So it's a full Trek afternoon into early evening on Sunday.
Well, that's some great planning. All those people will already be in costume. So
that's what I'm hoping.
They're all in costume.
We'll just move everyone down to the Marriott Marquis. We'll be good to go. So,
and then just also remember, there's nothing like watching a Miss Star Trek Universe pageant already in your uniform and things like that. I mean, come on, let's go, people. Guardy, put it on, go see that, and then go over to the.
There you go.
Attempt. There we go.
That's awesome. Awesome. Perfect.
You go, John.
All right. So, what other
talk today?
What other? Yes, I can this time. So, what other panels do you have going on throughout the convention this week?
Well, we also Dominic Keating we have from Enterprise, so he'll have his panel, a solo. We also have the Shat. The Shat's back. William Shatner will be there. Mm-hmm. Marina Sirtis and Brent Spiner from Next Gen. George Takei. Oh my. I am going to be there. I just wouldn't say I'm so happy to come to Dragon Con yet again. So that's my George, obviously.
You do a good one. You do a good one. And that is going to be an – that if you've never seen him at Dragon Con, that's a fun thing to see.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
He has two solo panels, both of which I will be moderating because I love George, so I will be there. Vic Mignogna, he is presenting his version of an original series type looking episode. I think it's Star Trek Continues is the name of his project, but he'll be screening that and he'll have a panel afterwards. So that's something new too.
Great. By the way, because we haven't mentioned it, whereabouts are you? Where's your main track room?
Our track room is in the Sheraton. It's right off the base floor that you come into. If you turn right, we have a room. It's called the Athens room, and that's the main track room. But the majority of our panels are going to be either in our track room or within one of the ballrooms at the Sheraton.
Oh, okay. Great.
Unless it's something like Shatner, they'll move it over to maybe the Marriott, you know, so.
Yeah, because the atrium, if I'm correct, still, even with all the new space, I think the atrium is now still the biggest one.
It is.
Which is really kind of awesome. So that is really good. And that's, I think that one is also, is that one at Friday at 10 a.m.? I mean, I think that's opening or no?
Oh, it might be.
My tablet is
no, there's nothing. Battering it. No, the opening one is a Sulu solo panel at Friday at 11:30. So
11:30. So there you go.
I think the one that Shatner doesn't come on until late Saturday. He's not even there.
Oh, okay. So he's not there until Saturday. Okay.
At least not panel-wise. He may be in physically there by Friday. But, yeah, Sulu Solo, Friday 11:30, Grand Ballroom, Sheraton. What else? Oh, hey, y'all, everyone out there, go – if you have an iPhone, download the DragonCon 2013 app. That'll show you everything where everything is. So
right.
It's quite
– Well, you can do it on – and remember, you can do it on Apple products, Android, and if you do – even if you – and it'll go on all your tablets. If you don't have a phone or a smartphone or a tablet, you can actually even see it on the web. So
wait, Lee, is that right? It goes on Android too?
Awesome. Oh, yeah. The only thing that's not going on Android this year is the photo thing.
Oh, Passion?
Passion Tag. Yeah.
That's what it was. Okay.
That's Apple only, but the app is on everything.
Although
except Windows.
Lee, I do need to correct you on something. They did announce yesterday that the Passion Tag folks have supplied a way for Android folks to participate in the Passion Tag as well.
I have not seen that, so yay.
It's more of a – it's like an HTML5 site. I have to look up the information.
If you could link to that on this, John, that would be great, and we will let everybody know, because I have a Droid, and I couldn't do Passion Tag. So yay, that'll be awesome if we can get that. Woohoo! I don't think people knew about that too much. So yay.
Yep. Good to hear.
Yep.
Yes.
Anything else? What else are we going to talk about?
Well, I don't know. I mean, so you've been director now 3 years?
This will be my fourth year.
Fourth year. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. How time flies. I do want to also say, because people ask me all the time, does he really come to meetings? He actually has a better meeting rate than I do, at least this year. He's been at all of them this year, and I've missed one. So I feel really bad. The director's meetings. How different is it now? Because I know you go to other cons, and I know you do a lot of other work with cons.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things people always ask me is, how is Dragon Con different than other cons? And I don't go to other ones. So what do you see as the big difference between Dragon Con and some other ones?
I think it starts
– other than size, I think.
Yeah. Well, it starts first and foremost with the location, okay? Mm-hmm. The city that it's located in, Atlanta, Georgia – I think the city has a certain vibe to it, an energy to it, which is a favorable energy. Let's say that, okay. And then just the fact that all of downtown and all five hotels, pretty much within a rock's throwing distance of each other, are participating in this con and all of their convention space. It's just the layout of it is different from any other city, you know. For instance, if you're going to compare it to like San Diego Comic-Con, those guys, they're in San Diego, but at nighttime, the nighttime programming is kind of separate from the convention. They have, you know, different corporate people having parties off the away from the convention, and it just doesn't have that same communal cool vibe that Dragon Con does. That's the best way I can put it. Just the energy and the vibe you get when you come to the convention, and you'll feel it when you're standing in the Marriott marquee with everybody else in their costumes. It's tremendous, and it's 1,000 times better than any time that I've gone to San Diego Comic Con. I'll tell you that right now. So
that is cool. I think that's San Diego. I think the other thing too is one thing I was talking to a friend of mine about who goes to some smaller cons, maybe like Chicago Comic Con, and I'm not trying to pick on them, or I'm not really trying to pick on anybody, but just making examples. Chicago sure. Comic Con is one they were talking about, but also some other smaller one. There's actually something up in Chattanooga here, and one of the biggest things is, of course, size, but that we're also all volunteer run pretty much. I mean, I think there are like three people maybe that get paid, that it's all volunteer run, and that you can actually kind of, that's a part of the vibe as well, is that people are doing this because we love it.
Yes.
We enjoy it. And that kind of comes out, even though sometimes we get tired and sometimes we might get a little cranky, and that's
right.
why people hand me PB&J sandwiches.
Including myself too, because I volunteered to do the Trek Track directing position.
Yeah.
There's no secret payment or check that I get for thousands of dollars for doing this. You know, it's me because I love this convention so much. I wanted to be there every single year. I didn't want to be on that 6-year rotation that it seems to happen. Okay, well, it's time to invite him again. You know, I didn't want to do that. I want to be part of it. So it's a little bit selfish on my part too, but I wanted to be there every year. So
that is cool. I can't wait to see what your costume is though for the and that'll be awesome. Everybody was hoping. I was hoping Janeway. I thought that would be awesome.
I'll come in Janeway. That'd be funny. Or Seven of.
I actually got to. There you go. I got to actually meet Ms. Mulgrew. She came and did a Warehouse 13 panel.
Yes.
And she is so nice. She's so nice.
Yes.
And sorry. That's just my little fangirl moment right there. So that's cool. I think. John, what else? We got to ask him the other question, the final one.
Oh, we will in just a second. I actually wanted to ask you, in your 4 years of being track director, what lessons have you learned, and what have you what are you taking away from this these days?
Oh wow, lesson number one: do not schedule Brent Spiner's panel in the 200 seat track room.
Whoa. Did you do that?
Oh, yeah, no. The first year, you know, because what happens is programming is a very difficult, it's almost like an art form in terms of getting all these different rooms filled with what different actors. And sometimes it goes down to number crunching. And evidently, I think with Brent or with Marina or whoever, some of the TNG actors, the prior time that they had come, they had a very small turnout for some weird reason. So then it was then deemed that they only need the 200 seat room. Well, when we started when we turned away 800 people from the panel, we realized that's not right. And you know, you learn from that. So, but just proper scheduling and just being prepared and making sure that you've got staff that are working with you that are serious about making your track better, as opposed to just sort of coming around and being fangirl or fanboy or trying to, you know, snag photos with every actor, that kind of thing. That's that's something that kind of I've had to look out for and make sure that everyone is on the same page. You know, that's pretty much it. And just being fair and fair yet firm in running the track. You know, that's the best way, I think.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right.
What else have I learned? Thank God for the food court. That's what I've learned. I mean, that's you know, honestly, that is another amazing thing, because if you're at a convention, one of these smaller cons that just go to one single hotel, you're at the mercy of whatever that hotel charges for food. You know what I'm saying?
That's a very good point.
Whereas the food court offers a economic alternative to buying overpriced hotel food, which, hey, everyone's for that, and it's right there between everything. So I think that's one thing I've learned is just so wonderful about Dragon Con.
And there's a new thing this year, which is the Orange Julius and the Dairy Queen are together, so I can go get an Orange Julius smoothie if I need one.
Were they not before? So
you know what? They should call it in honor of Kate's new show, Orange is the New Black, and change Orange is the New Black Julius or something like that.
Nice.
Actually, I was going to mention everything.
There you go.
When you brought up Kate, I was going to mention that she is awesome in that show.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I think
I know her personally, so it's always great to watch her play a character that's that hardcore. It's like,
right.
Because what a lot of people don't know about Kate is she is incredibly funny. She's got a great sense of humor. She took the time to talk to you, to say this, you know what I'm saying? There wasn't any of this. Like, excuse me, I've got to go to my room and lock every key and door. So no fan can ever touch me. Ooh, you know, she's not that person.
No, she was just, it was really nice because she actually had to leave a little early because she was catching a plane, but she really wanted to do the panel. She was wanted to do it with Eddie. And I just said, I know you've got to leave, but I just wanted to tell you, I've always loved everything you've done, even going back to Columbo. And she just laughed and she was like, oh my God, you're not that old. And I went, that is the nicest thing anybody said to me this week. Thank you. But she was very nice and very sweet. She's very nice. And I think that's the thing too, that a lot of people come out of Dragon Con and they say, you know, it's the Walk of Fame and all that, but they love just seeing the people and they're like, they are nice. I'm like, yes, 99.9% of them are absolutely wonderful, wonderful people. And you would let them like babysit your children. So, you know, they're wonderful people and they're very, they may not want to babysit your children. I'm not offering any of them that. I'm just saying they're very nice people. And so, enjoy coming.
They do. I'm going to call her, I'm going to abbreviate her initials to CCK, which is Cordial Captain Katie.
Cordial Captain Katie. Ooh, yes. That'll be cool.
CCK.
Next time she comes, you can put that in the little pocket program. And then she'll be like, what in the world am I Garrett told me to put it in there. it's all Garrett's fault.
Exactly. There you go.
All right, John, your turn now.
All right, so I'm going to ask you, you've been on before, and I have asked you the three guests question before, so I'm not going to ask you that this time. Instead, what I'm going to ask you is, if Ensign Harry Kim were to be on any other genre outside of Trek, any other genre show, which three shows would he like to be on?
Oh, you don't want the genre, you want the actual shows?
The actual show, yeah.
Actual shows.
They have to be in production now?
Yeah, they can be past history. Past history? Yeah, as opposed to future history, I suppose.
They could be at his.
What the heck
his,
does past history mean?
Yeah,
anyway.
Historical.
Wow. I would have, well, number one, I would have liked to play a doctor on any doctor show. That's one of my biggest pet peeves, that Hollywood is just, they're clueless in terms of portraying the actual real life ethnic makeup of a hospital. You know, every show that you see, whether it's ER or House or what are the other ones?
St. Elsewhere.
You will see African American doctors on all of those shows before you see an Asian male doctor.
Which is
a kind of a joke because half of the enrollment of every medical school in this country is Asian, you know? So my whole thing was I would like to be on Grey's Anatomy.
I was just going
to
say Grey's Anatomy, like it's in Seattle for crying out loud.
I know. And so I always said, all right, you've got McSteamy, McDreamy. I could be McSweet and Sour, you know, something funny like that. So, hey, there you go. That, you guys laughing?
Yes, we're laughing.
Yes,
we're laughing.
Giggling.
I'm glad I could make you giggle.
He does this at director's meetings too, y'all.
Yes. Or I would take Noah Wiley's spot in ER as the young, you know, male doctor. I would have taken. Then the other favorite genre, I would have loved to have been in like something one hour comedic drama or action-y, which would be like Chuck on NBC.
Oh, that would be nice.
I would have loved to have been on Chuck. And then as far as sitcom-y goes, oh my God, that 70s show would have been wonderful to be on, you know, where it's comedy and period piece in the same, you know.
You don't want to go to that 80s show? No.
No, they already have a guy, Asian guy there, I think. So
Yeah,
John, you can't have more than one Asian guy on per show.
Oh, know? I've learned that apparently.
You know what?
Got the rules, John.
It's kind of funny because I watched something like Hawaii Five-0, where the two leads are two Caucasian cops,
yes.
Right? And you go to Hawaii, you go look at the police department. Oh my gosh, it's 99% Asian or Hawaiian. There's like nobody working there that look like McGarrett, you know. Or it's just, it's humorous. It really is. But I would say those shows. So I'm going to throw out That 70s Show, Grey's Anatomy as Mick Sweet and Sour, and the other one is, what was the third one I threw at you? Oh, Chuck.
Something like, yeah.
Yeah.
The dramedy. Yes.
Yeah, dramedy.
Those are pretty good. I like those.
That's a varied answer, yeah.
I could see Harry Kim in all three.
Why, thank you. I appreciate that.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. Oh, and for those of you who have not seen me in a while, I've cut off all my hair, so I look like Ensign Kim again. So.
Oh, really? Why'd you do that?
I was working on a project, and I just decided to get it cut off. The funniest thing I heard was I walked into where my mailbox place in L.A., mm-hmm. and the guy who runs it is Korean-American. He sees me. He goes, "Holy crap!" He goes, "You're Asian again!" Because, you know, with the long hair, I was getting everything from Native American to, you know, Polynesian mix of blah, blah, blah. So it was quite funny for him to say, from one Asian guy to say to another Asian guy, "Hey, you're Asian again."
So on that note, what is it that you're working on these days? Are you doing anything actory, or are you?
In December when I cut my hair, it was for a project, independent film called Alongside Night. And then right now I'm working on an independent film called Unbelievable, which is like a slapstick airplane type of movie, but set on more in a space environment, let's say, with a lot of alumni from Trek, from all the various different Treks out there. Then I'm supposed to be working on Star Trek Renegades, which is yet another independent project, film project. And all of these have really been just through friends of friends. I mean, they've just all seemed to have clustered around the same time. And the irony is both Unbelievable and Renegades wanted my hair long. Mm. And it's like,
really?
You know what? I grew my hair out specifically to see if I could play some other roles, but nobody wanted the long hair. I had it long for 10 years. And now the minute I cut it, two projects go, "But we wanted it long." I said, "Oh gosh. Thanks for calling me."
That's how it goes.
Exactly. So I like it. It's my summer cut, so I'll keep it for a while.
Nice. All right. Well, Garrett, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for taking time out. Remind everyone again where they can find you in the physical world of Dragon Con and the virtual world of Dragon Con.
Oh, well, let's see. Physically, I will be... you can, again, if you can get the Dragon Con app 2013, you'll see it'll list most of the places I'm going to be. I will not be moderating. I don't think I'll be moderating the TNG panels. They listed me for that. And I'm not going to be moderating the Deep Space Nine Monday panel. But both George Takei's, the first Deep Space Nine panel on Friday, I'll be moderating that also. I'll be at the Walk of Fame, the new Walk of Fame, which is, I guess, in the Marriott this year now. Is that correct?
Yep. Walk of Fame is in the Marriott. Yep.
Yes.
Walk and it's on the M. It's on the M level, so yep. That'll be really cool.
Right, and I'll have a schedule posted of exactly where I'm at my table, so people can know, you know, oh, he'll be back at this time, you know, so there's no confusion.
Okay.
And of course, I'll be MC for Miss Star Trek Universe. Invite everyone to that, and also overseeing the Guinness World Record record attempt on Sunday. So Sunday at 4 at the Grand Ballroom in the Sheraton. Sunday at 7 at the Atrium Ballroom in the Marriott Marquis. And I will also be on Twitter. My Twitter account, I've been tweeting quite a bit lately. It's my name. It's at G, capital G-A-R-R-E-T-T, capital R, capital W-A-N-G. So that's basically my Twitter account. I will be tweeting throughout the convention. From all different places that I'll be at. So follow me on that. Yes. Did I answer everything, John?
I think you got all that. I think you got all that. And of course, you can find more about the track over at trektrack.org.
Yes, trektrack.org. And also, John, really important, guys.
Sure.
For those of you coming to Miss Star Trek Universe, there will be flash photography there. So for individuals who are affected by that, in terms of, there are some people with flashes and strobing, it can lead to seizure some people, individuals. And we just want to tell people right now that we are going there. You know, flash photography will happen at that event. So please be careful if that affects you. Okay.
And
so
this is probably a good time for Lee to remind everyone about what she said to put on the back of her badges.
That is true. It is a great idea. If you go to Disability Services, they'll probably give you one of these, which is just to put down like your in case of emergency number. I had two people over the past couple of years who had a little bit of had their blood sugar go really low when they were diabetic, and we were able to handle it and we called everybody, but I would have loved to have been able to get their phone or get my phone and know right there on the back of their badge, hey, I'm going to call John and say, hey, your friend is, we got your friend here. They're having a little bit of a medical issue. Everything's okay. Cause we won't call that person until everything is okay. And we got the EMTs and everything there. But if you can put that on the back of your badge, that is a great idea. Something like this. So if we all of a sudden see that there's a problem and you didn't realize, you know, you walked in, and I know it'll be announced about the flash photography, but,
right.
You may not realize. You may come in a couple minutes late, or just, you know, sometimes we all, at the end of a long Dragon Con day, might space out when people are making the announcements. No pun intended. And so, you know, if we have that on the – I just think it's a great idea. Grab one of those little label things that, you know, you can make yourself and just write on that, you know, what's your medical condition, and in case of emergency, call. That just helps us. I'd love to be able to call somebody. That was the one thing for both of them is we didn't have anybody to call, and that was kind of worrisome. So,
you know, Lee, that's an awesome idea. I don't know why that hasn't been incorporated into the regular badge too. That's really cool. Good idea.
It is. And I know, and that's actually how we found these people, is actually the badge office said, oh, they bought their – they were able to say that they bought their badge with somebody else. But and I know you, this is something Disability Services has. So if you're going over there, but some people don't, you know, don't go to Disability Services. And
that's right.
So just, yeah, I think it's a great idea. I do. I really kind of like that thing. So
very
and that's
cool.
Also why I say it's great to also, because I'm even on my lock screen, it says my name and my regular phone number in case it gets lost. And then it also has my ICE with his name and his phone number too. So, and it's a scrolling thing even on my lock screen, which is great.
And for
so
those
you do that too.
Yes, and for those of you who don't know, ICE stands for in case of emergency. Just want to throw that out. Just
oh yeah, thank you. I work in public health. I think of ICE all day. Yeah, you got to do the ICE.
Exactly.
Got to do the ICE thing.
Yeah, it's not vanilla ICE that she's referring to.
No.
You know,
right?
Call this.
You don't tape an ice cube to the back of your badge either.
And you also, you know, it's not Ice Cube from NWA either. So it's none of those things.
No,
referring to.
No. I wouldn't have gone even with the. Oh my goodness, John.
All right, Garrett. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate you taking time out, and be sure to go check out the Trek Track. Don't forget to. Oh, before I forget, is there any pre-registration that's required for the Guinness World Record event, or is it just show up?
It's just show up.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right.
Yeah. Just 7 o'clock. Just start moseying in. We're going to try to play maybe the Voyager pilot on the background, just that something's on the screens, you know, but I'll be on the microphone also. So
great.
Ooh, maybe it'll turn down the sound and I'll do like a Mad Movies, like Mystery Science Theater.
3000. Ooh, that'd be awesome.
That'd be kind of
or at least
tech, wouldn't it?
You could do your dialogue.
I could do Janeway's voice. I could do everybody's voice.
Oh, there you go. You got it.
So
sweet.
I'm excited. Woo. All right, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Garrett.
Thank you so much.
So for Garrett and Lee, this is John saying until next time, peace.
See ya.
Bye.
At DragonCon.
Woo. Woo.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.